Every job comes with a job description in some format or style. That job description could be based on policy, while in other instances, it could be based on tradition. The second can be said of the position of Pope of the Catholic Church. My next guest with his new book says that Pope Francis not only is working to drastically change that job description, but in doing so is testing and even challenging the traditional teachings of the Catholic Church. His book is Lost Shepherd, How Pope Francis is Misleading His Flock. He's also the editor of Catholic World News, Philip Lawler. Thanks for being here today, sir.
Thank you for having me on.
And to find out more about Catholic World News, their website is catholicculture.org. First received notice about your book and the premise of it before I read. And first thing I thought was, well, this could be interesting because Pope Francis is a pope who, not too long ago, wanted to reinterpret the Lord's Prayer. So it's making me think that he really doesn't, he believes in absolution, but he thinks his power is absolute, apparently.
It's a strange combination because Pope Francis has said that he wants to decentralize the church and that he wants to de-emphasize the authority of the pope. Actually, he's acted in a way that's quite authoritarian in several respects. So he's a bit of a conundrum.
Well, as far as what you had concerns about, how fast did Pope Francis's words and actions raise those concerns once he ascended to the papacy?
For some people, I guess very quickly. I was not one of them. For quite a while after he was elected, I was an enthusiastic admirer, and I thought that much of what he was saying was exciting and positive. He brought a new energy to the papacy. He had a very different style. A lot of people that I know were excited, interested in the faith for the first time in many cases. So all of that excited me, and it was only gradually that I started hearing false notes in what he was saying and thinking, that really doesn't match my understanding of the faith. And as time went on, I became first confused and then dismayed by what he was saying.
Now, as far as Pope Francis's election, and you're right about this too, was the deck stacked? Was the fix in? Was this a goal among the cardinals to wind up with a pope such as this?
Certainly not among most of the cardinals, but there is abundant evidence that a few cardinals had been lobbying, which is not supposed to be the case. They all are supposed to be coming into this fresh and prayerful. But there are several cardinals who, after the fact, have made statements that make it clear they were organized for the purpose of trying to promote this candidacy.
Pope Francis's priorities, are they simply restructuring how the church looks at social issues? Is he looking at changing and reorganizing the mechanics of the church? Is it a combination of the two?
I would say not quite either. I would say as far as the mechanics of the church, if there's one thing that's very clear about what the cardinals wanted when they elected him, they wanted reform in the structure of the church, in the Roman Curia. They wanted more responsibility and accountability among the top prelates at the Vatican, and they have not got it. That sort of reform has not occurred. They wanted reform on how the Vatican handled financial affairs, because there's nothing that corrupts as well as money does. That hasn't happened. They wanted reform or a continued reform on how the church handles questions of sexual abuse, and that hasn't happened. So the structural reform 5 years into this papacy just has not progressed. As far as what Pope Francis is trying to do on church teaching, I wouldn't say it's just on social issues. I would say, generally speaking, he has taken a more liberal line on both social, political, and what's most important to me, doctrinal issues. And in an odd way, because he's creating confusion, he's not clearly stating that the church is going to change teaching. He's leaving enough wiggle room so that those who want to profess something different from the traditional teachings of the church are able to do so without quite coming out and saying that everything has changed. So it's a time of great confusion for people in the pews, I think.
To say the least, we're talking about Philip Lawler, his book, Lost Shepherd, How Pope Francis is Misleading His Flock. Philip is also editor of Catholic World News. CatholicCulture.org is their website. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. These actions by the Pope, too, they're not stealth or clandestine. He's quite open about his intent and his goals and his vision.
He's open about it, but again, he's open about what he wants to achieve. But again, he's not doing things so openly that he would provoke direct opposition among other bishops who are trying to hold the line on church teaching. So that the most problematical thing of all, the question of whether or not Catholics who are divorced and remarried can receive communion, he has not stated a clear answer to that question, nor has he responded when other bishops and four cardinals have asked him to clarify. So he's leaving the question open. And of course, when you leave the question open, what happens is different people give different answers and more confusion arises.
Well, if you're one of those individuals within the church hierarchy or the church priesthood or really any level, if you speak against or opposite of what the Pope is hinting or alluding to or desiring, if you're basically an enemy of the Pope, what price do you pay?
Well, it sort of depends. I'm in a fortunate position because I'm a layman. I work for an independent organization, and I don't have very much to worry about. There have been some people who have been caught on the wrong side, and they've been dismissed from their jobs or from their pastoral responsibilities. And I mean, certainly there is a price to be paid, and even myself writing this book, I've certainly come in for a fair amount of criticism.
And even by those in the pew still, because as you probably know, and I've certainly seen over time since the Boston Globe exposed the sex scandal way back when, to this day, and it's primarily the older churchgoers, they refuse to believe anything wrong with the church.
That's right, and it took a long while for people to come to their senses and recognize it. A loyal son of the church is not going to be quick to see a problem, and which is why it took me quite a while, frankly. And that is a difficulty that we face and with which I've wrestled for quite a while. I think that one of the reasons that I wrote this book was that I was thinking, what do you do in a family that's having problems when the father of the family has a problem that you have to deal with? You know, if the father is drinking, sooner or later, the kids have to intervene if they really love him and love the family. And I think that's what's happening here.
You mentioned, too, how the Pope isn't doing everything, taking all the actions completely in the open, but If you know the who's and the what's, you sort of can, as you do in Lost Shepherd, put the pieces together. For example, the president of the Pontifical Academy for Life, Archbishop Vincenzo Paglia, has a less than stellar resume, shall we say.
He does. He's one of a number of people who are around the Pope who have, as you put it, less than stellar resumes, little scandals in their past or intimations of scandal, the sort of people who shouldn't be promoted, let's put it that way. And one of the reasons that I wrote this book is, as you say, I do watch Vatican affairs. I'm able to see patterns just because I've been doing this for 25 years. And so I notice the developments more than other people would, and I'm just trying to bring people to the realization of what's going on. I think if they see the evidence that I put forward, they'll tend to agree with me that we have a problem on our hands and we have to do our best to solve it.
As you write, too, on Lost Shepherd, how Pope Francis is misleading his flock, this isn't just Pope Francis' papacy policy that the Pope wants to institute. He wants this to be carved in stone and made permanent. So as far as the rank and file within the church body, is it just a matter of, well, the faith can outlast what the Pope is trying to do, and that's what you have to rest a foundation on?
Yes, except not quite rest the foundation, I don't think. I think you have to have that confidence. Yes, the faith will survive, and that, too, is the reason I wrote the book, to let people know it's not the end of the world. We've had popes in the past who have done damage to the church, and the church has survived, and the church will survive this crisis too. But that doesn't mean that we can just sit back and coast. I think the way the church survives any crisis is the faithful stand up for what they believe in and insist that the leaders of the church profess and teach what we all know the church professes and teaches. So I tell lay people what you've got to do, first of all, is pray. And second, you've got to demand of your pastors and your bishops that they, too, preach and teach what the church has always preached and taught, and try to clarify all of that in a time of real confusion and crisis.
The book is Lost Shepherd, How Pope Francis is Misleading His Flock. Hopefully you'll read it with an open mind, because that open mind is what's going to be part of the key to resolve what is currently the conflict, maybe to a point where you're not even aware of, as a church-going Catholic, that is existing within your church. And that open mind is indeed going to be the empowerment to steady things, stabilize things, and keep the teachings on the historical tradition spiritually that they long have been, and as Philip expresses, hopefully will once again be sooner versus later. Philip is also the editor of Catholic World News, CatholicCulture.org. Philip Lola, thanks so much for taking the brave step of writing this book, which is not just, it's not accusations, it's facts with the track record and the paths taken to those facts to prove them. Thank you for doing that, for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me and giving me the chance to talk about it.